Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Memorial Day weekend. And, hey, got a lot of information we want to share this morning. Hope you're up, woke, and thankful for being able to see another day. I want to start off with a reading from a book by Steve Kimbrough called Daily Motivations for African-American Success. This is for today, May 28th. The last shall be the first. I'm not a self-made man. I cannot forget those who have sacrificed for me to get where I am today. Often we see plaques on the walls in people's homes that read, God first, family second, work third. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's credo because they're all first. We are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe. But that spirituality permeates our family, our work, and our entire life. Our choice is to recognize it and work with it or deny it and have it work against us. In work, in finance, in health, in many areas of our lives, we use terms that we all immediately recognize. But when we get to spirituality, we frequently disagree over terminology. The following story will help define the term spirituality. Several years ago, there was an extremely wealthy old woman living in one of the most expensive suites in a 4-star New York hotel. The cost was anything but modest, and she began to feel guilty about spending all that money on herself. One day, as she exited the hotel, she saw a disheveled beggar stumbling down the street. Feeling somewhat remorseful, she walked up to him and placed a $100 bill in his hand, and she walked away and said, Godspeed. The next day, as she was coming out the hotel, a neatly dressed, clean, shaved man walked up to her, placed 10 $100 bills in her hand, and said, Godspeed, pay 10 to 1. This only goes to show that one person's spirituality is another's horse race. Spirituality involves more the mind or intellect. It involves the soul. When you do something spiritual, we do it from the soul. We do it for ourselves. We have a spiritual side. Find it and pour your soul into it. That has a lot to do with our topic for today, personal development. Personal development. What is your personal development? Are you blindsided by certain things? Do you just have one outlook? Or are you open-minded so that you can figure a way, as I'm reading through Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? He starts the book off with talking about, you know, finding ways to praise people as opposed to criticizing people. Because criticism, all it does is makes the person defensive, has them upset. Now they got to defend themselves because you criticized them. It's like in another chapter in the book, he says, how to avoid arguments. He says, because no one wins in an argument. That you're arguing with gets on the defensive. And so they never hear what you're saying because they're trying to defend their position. So these are the type of things that you learn when you focus on your personal development in terms of advancing yourself and your business or advancing your personal goals and your personal development. It's important to have a personal development library. I'm going to share some titles of some books this morning in terms of part of my personal development library. And, you know, some very good books. Of course, I just finished reading from one, Dennis Kimbrough, Daily Motivations for African-American Success. Great book, great book. Another one by Dennis Kimbrough is Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, Dennis Kimbrough and Napoleon Hill. With that book, he got the manuscript that Napoleon Hill was working on before he transitioned and passed from W. Clement Stone, and he finished that book. Napoleon Hill's last thing he was working on before he transitioned and went on to go wherever it is that our soul and spirits go to once we leave this physical world. He was working on a book for Black Achievement. Kimbrough, who commissioned him to finish the book. And so Thinking Grow Rich, A Black Choice, is a very, very good book. I want to read from the first part of this book, which is the introduction, written by Wiley Famous Amos. Y'all might remember him, the Cookie Man, who had to start all over again. He had to start all over again. He lost his cookie recipe. And he lost his cookie recipe. I won't say lost, but he lost. He was developing his company in some kind of way to merge with somebody. He no longer had the rights to his cookies. Bad, bad, bad. But anyway, this is what Wiley Famous Amos says in the introduction of the book. Forward. He says, you're about to embark on a transformational experience. The information and ideas contained in this very special book will actually change your belief system. Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, was written with the hope of giving you another way of looking at your world. It's a book filled with real-life positive examples of high achievers. It is written in basic English, packed with emotion. You will see your reflection in many of the stories told. The success stories in this book are actually every person's success story. They are founded in a universal law and principle, which shows no regard for color, race, or culture differences. They work for everyone. However, there's one catch. They work only if you work them. You must believe and use the principles daily, not just every now and then. Just as food will nourish and strengthen your body only when eaten, the ideas and concepts shared in this book will work only when applied in practice. So make a commitment that this will not be like so many other projects you have begun and failed to complete. This time we will be different. We're going to create a new and improved you. Let's give the project a name so it will have real meaning. Let's call it Operation New Life. Can you think of a more worthwhile project? I know I can't. You deserve to be the best you possibly can be. Before you get started, a word of caution. This is not a read it once and put it on the shelf book. Read it before going to bed at night. Put it on the shelf. Just read it before going to bed at night. Read it as soon as you wake up in the morning. Take it to your place of business, on trips to the bathroom, because Thinking Grow Rich, A Black Choice, was meant to be studied and put into practice, practice, practice. So turn the page and get started on the greatest journey of your life, Operation New Life. I look forward to meeting the brand new you. Have a great life. Aloha, Wiley Famous Amos. So this is a great book. You know, with a lot of good stuff in here. First chapter really takes you into this topic of personal development, because it talks about the following. Inner space, the final frontier. I remember we used to watch this thing about Star Trek, you know, the boldly go where no one has gone before. Space, the final frontier. Well, in this, you know, I mean, Dennis Kimbrough came up with a great title for the opening chapter of the book, Inner Space, the Final Frontier. We've always been explorers as part of our nature since we evolved millions of years ago. Millions of years ago. See, that takes us on a whole other conversation, but I won't get into that one right now. But millions of years ago, you know, first humans inhabited this earth, and you know, which is contrary to people's opinion about what they read in the Bible that says we've only been on the earth for 6,000 years. That's a bunch of crap. But anyway, humans have explored every continent from pole to pole, from Mount Everest to the Dead Sea. This exploratory urge has clear survival value and is not restricted to any one nation or ethnic group. It is an endowment that the human species has in common. But at just a time when the earth has become almost entirely explored, other worlds beckon. T-minus 2 minutes and counting, the voice giving the command belongs to the test conductor in the firing room of NASA's Launch Control Center. He is contemplating the countdown for the greatest adventure in the history of civilization, the first manned lunar flight. Step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It somehow seems difficult to believe that the space age is still in its infancy. Today, satellites routinely orbit the Earth, relaying television programs from points all over the world, flashing warnings of developing storms and surveying the planet's precious supply of natural resources. Robot spacecraft journey far into the solar system, transmitting unprecedented photographies of one of the mysterious faces of the Moon, Jupiter, and Mars. Man now talks about matter-of-factly about the day when he will venture to other galaxies. T-minus 1 minute and counting, the voice crackles over one of the hundreds of communication circuits monitored by launch crew members. Paracelsus, a 16th century European philosopher, challenged our character when he wrote, "God did not create the planets and stars with the intention that they should dominate man, but that they, like other creatures, should obey and serve him." Yet historians will record that the opening of this era of infinite promise and potential occurred only in the middle of the 20th century, when man first successfully launched a package of scientific instruments called Sputnik 1. The foundation for space exploration for the betterment of life on Earth had been laid. T-minus 30 seconds and counting. A button is pushed. The electronic sequence springs into action. The rest of the countdown will be done automatically. If any trouble develops past this point, computers will electronically shut down the operation. Engineers and technicians will monitor the series of final events now taking place. T-minus 10 seconds and counting. Exploring outer space has been both a challenge and an obligation, like runners exchanging a baton. Scientists, engineers, and mathematicians employed the success of past explorers to satisfy their hunger of discovering the universe and learning truths. T-minus 3, 2, 1, liftoff. Rivers of flame gush down the scorched deflector and funnel out of both sides of the launching pad several hundred feet. For nearly 9 seconds, the booster remains locked on the mobile launcher. The ground for miles rumbles and swells as if an earthquake were taking place. The rocket is finally free, slowly, ever as it's so slowly begins to rise. Mankind has now embarked on a new cosmic stage of existence, terrestrial civilization. The message is clear. Earth is seen not as our world, but as part of the greatest system of the worlds that has now become accessible. It is thought that space exploration will have a profound impact upon the life on Earth. We have been informed that if a man is wise enough to constructively apply this knowledge, greater will be his opportunities. But what lies around this latest expedition into the outer regions of the universe? What will follow once the solar system's planets have been visited, first by robot spacecraft, then by man? What benefits will be reaped from the conquest of the endless seas of outer space 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now? Through the magic of satellites, will man have created a unified world? Will it improve human relations? Will phantom disappear? Will this finally bring a halt to poverty, ignorance, illiteracy, war, despair? The answer to these questions will not be found within the realm of some far sphere or galaxy unknown. Though man has traveled the earth, climbed its highest mountain, explored the depth of its ocean, harness electricity, uncovered the secrets of the atom, transmitted pictures and sound from continent to continent, healed with a pill, destroyed with an invisible beam, and now fires projectiles into outer space. The answer he seeks may be found much closer to home. But something has gone amiss. Anticipation of progress has been supplemented by a foreboding of technical ruin. As I look into the eyes of my fellow man and ask myself what kind of future is being planned for those who have never explored outside of their seemingly limited domains, I realize they have been offered vision of a future that includes the inability to read, to compete, to anticipate events, to invent, or to think. There are those who sink into vulgarity and economic decay as fear and ignorance conspire to destroy their opportunities. Even as our investigation of the outer world has produced such startling results, we must now turn our attention inward to the investigation of ourselves. After many concerned, systematic, and historic missions to offer worlds, including the reconnaissance of several planets witnessed in the night sky, we must focus our being inward at inner space and conquering our minds. The human mind is the last great unexplored continent on Earth. I'll repeat that sentence. The human mind is the last great unexplored continent on Earth. It contains riches, material and spiritual, beyond our wildest dreams. However, like a fertile field, the mind will return anything that we plant. Now, you might say, if that's true, why don't individuals use their minds more? The answer is quite simple. Our mind comes to us as standard equipment at birth. It's free. Predictably, we place little or no value on that which is given to us for nothing. On the other hand, things that we pay money for, we value. But the paradox is closer to the truth. Everything that is really worthwhile in life comes to us free. Our minds, our souls, our bodies, our hopes, our dreams, our ambition, our intelligence, our love of family. All these priceless possessions are free. Ironically, things that cost us money can be replaced. A good man or woman can experience bankruptcy but live to build another fortune. That can be done several times. Even if a home burns down, it can be rebuilt. But those things we get for nothing can never be replaced. The mind isn't used because we take it for granted. It can do any task we assign to it. But regrettably, we use it for little jobs instead of big, important ones. A 1970 Stanford University study proved that most of us are operating on less than 5% of our capacity. Though we are blessed with unlimited power, we use only a fraction of it. Unlimited wealth lies around us, but for numerous reasons, we don't grasp our share. With powers endowed to us by our Creator, we are content to continue in this daily grind, eating, sleeping, wandering through an existence less eventful than that of dumb animals, while all of nature, all of life calls upon us to awaken from our slumber to better ourselves. But you are now entering a new age, an age when you will be your own master. When poverty, ignorance, and fear will no longer hold you captive, and where the very least among us can capture a place side by side those who have attained greatness. The power to be able to be whatever you wish, to obtain whatever you desire, to accomplish all that you can conceive, abides within the wellsprings of your being. To those of you who do not know the resources of this innermost power. This will sound like rash statements, but science has proved beyond question that in the depths of everyone's consciousness are untapped deposits of ability, wisdom, greatness, and yes, riches. I'm going to stop there. But that's how he opens up the first chapter of the book, Inner Space, The Final Frontier. It has a lot to do with personal development. How will you develop? What will you study? What will you read? What will you look at and dismiss? What will you look at and say, that's a bunch of crap? I mean, and so it's important that we see that and that we spend time with our personal development. Several other books that I have that I go through time to time, The Psychology of Winning by Dennis Wheatley, very, very good book. And then Think and Grow Rich, The Original Copy by Napoleon Hill, another very good book. Success Through Positive Mental Attitude, Napoleon Hill, W. Clement Stone, another good book. But as Dennis Kimbrough says in this opening chapter of Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice, that inner space is the final frontier. You have to open your mind, and absorb information from other sources. I think about the journey that I've been on over the years, and especially once I left high school in 1970, going into the military and stepping outside of the United States of America and seeing how other people look at Americans. And it's even worse today. You step outside of this country and go to other countries. People despise people from America. People hate people from America. And in most cases, the reason people despise and hate is because things that our government has done to other people. I never forget Philippines, 1971. And God walks up to me. He says, "You GIs, y'all just think y'all can just come here and you make our women prostitute for you." Well, we didn't actually make the women prostitute for the American government, but with the state of the economy being what it was in the Philippines and how people live, that, you know, that the prostitution, you go to wherever our military is, that is a big economic fact, prostitution. And the guy said, "How would you like if I come to your country and the only way your mother, your wife, your sister, your daughter can make money would be prostitute for us?" You might say, "Well, what's all this got to do with personal development?" This helped me with my personal development. I mean, it's like, you know, hey, young guy, we overseas. You know, and that's what goes on in the military. You know, you go to these countries and, you know, sex is marketed. And so, you know, you're looking to get sexually involved with people for the price of a funky American dollar. And it has a tremendous negative impact on other people. But for us, it's joy and pleasure. But when you really begin to understand what is going on, it got to the point that here I was 18 years old, going on 19. I was 19 when I left the military, 18 years old, and I'm thinking something that was supposed to be joy and fun. Now I'm looking at it from a different perspective because the person that shared that with me helped me with my own personal development, and it helped me begin to see how women were exploited. And with seeing that, that started me on a whole nother journey. And that journey led to social consciousness, political consciousness, and seeing things that are corrupt in this country and also in the world, not just America, but the world. And when I say the world, mainly the Western world. The Western world is a very corrupt world because it centers around exploitation of people and manipulating people for economic reasons. So I left the military, got involved in the Black Liberation Movement, which had another tremendous impact on my life, began to help me see the world from another perspective, especially spiritually, when I began to learn about all of the lies that are told through religion. That, you know, it's important for us to find our spiritual selves. See, because these people began with religion. It's marketed. But the biggest purpose of religion is marketing. This has nothing to do with people's personal views about Jesus Christ or Allah or whatever particular faith you are. But majority of the stuff that you read, if you take and really, really, really study, you'll find it's untrue. You know, I could do a whole nother show around religious untruths. But I'll save that topic again for another day. But the majority of stuff that you read is you know, was manufactured, made to control people. So getting involved in the Black Liberation Movement, I began to develop a new spiritual sense, got into the celebration of the African-American holiday Kwanzaa and learning the seven principles, the Nguzo Saba. And those seven principles, again, helped me a lot with my personal development. The first principle is emoji, unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Second principle, Kuchi Chagaliya, self-determination. To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, speak for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, created for, and spoken for by others. We must be self-determined people. And these principles can apply to all people. But they were particularly designed to help African Americans rescue themselves from the 400 years of slavery and oppression that we have experienced in this country called the United States of America. The United States of America is, you cannot tell American history or American truth without a serious and adequate discussion of chattel slavery. That's what built America. That's what made America great. If you could have people work, you can't see in the morning, you can't see at night, but nothing. You'd be able to build a great empire, too. Just imagine what you could do if you had, just say, 50 people that worked for you for nothing, absolutely nothing. And when they didn't do the work the right way you want, you whip them. And if you had crazy sexual desires, you just rape them. Or as current president said, you just grab them by the pussy. But, I mean, this is the attitude that exists in this country. And, like I said, Nguzo Saba helped me get beyond the distorted view of what it means to be an African-American living in, at that time, the 20th century, now the 21st century. Third principle, Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build our collective work and responsibility to build our communities together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. That means being your brother and sister's keeper. We need to look out for one another. Fourth principle, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build our own stores, shops, and other businesses and profit from them together. A concept of social wealth, because wealth is social. You know, I mean, you know, the capitalists are trying to tell you, no, it's not social. It's individual. You know, I organize it, so I get everything from it. No, you might have organized it, but you couldn't have organized it without the help of other people. So wealth is social wealth, and we need to learn how to share the wealth. The fifth principle, near purpose. Jamaica is our collective vocation in building and developing of our people in order to restore them to their traditional greatness. African Americans were great people. You know, people that were brought here were kings and queens, people that built universities, people who were doctors, people, you know, they call, you know, the European called the people medicine men, you know, and all kind of other stuff, but they were healers. And the healers knew how to heal people. And so we were once great, and as Marcus Garvey said, we shall be great again. Personal development and cleansing your mind. Then we have the sixth principle, Kuumba, creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can to leave our communities more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. There's a spark of divinity in all of us. It's important for us to tap into our inner selves, as Dennis Kimbrough talks about in the first chapter, Think and Grow Rich, the inner space, the journey, the final frontier, is that we need to tap into our inner selves and see that spark of divinity. You know, from a Christian perspective, they say God took nothing and made something out of it. Well, you know, if we apply that to our lives, you know, hey, we need to take the nothingness that we see around us daily and make us something more beautiful and beneficial out of it, something more positive. And then that seventh principle, Imani, faith, to believe with all our hearts in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle, our cause. Those principles help me develop into a person who eventually went on to several different colleges. The peak experience was being at the University of New Orleans and being president of the NAACP there and ultimately building the number one NAACP college chapter for 1980. I was the president, but it was the team, the people that was a part of the collective process that helped us win that award. From there, I was recruited by Father A.J. McKnight to work at the with the Holy Ghost Fathers in Lafayette at the Holy Rosary Seminary, and to work with young African-American seminarians who were preparing to become priests. And Father McKnight wanted me to help them understand what that responsibility and role would be in the African-American community. And from that, I began to learn more and more about the history of the church and the lies that have been told to people that people do not investigate, and the language that people do not interpret correctly and read. It's so much mystification with a lot of things that I can't even begin to dabble into all of them this morning on this show, but all deals with personal development. Are you willing to take the journey to find out what you don't know? See, because we assume what we've been given is correct, and until you investigate, you won't know the truth. And quite frankly, it's like that movie, A Few Good Men, where Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise has Jack Nicholson on the stand, and Jack Nicholson says, "You can't handle the truth." And for the majority of people in this country, and even the world, I would say, when it comes to religious lies, religious manipulation and exploitation of people. Remember, it was the Christian Catholic Church that sanctioned slavery. So if they sanction slavery, how are they going to teach me about how to get to heaven? See, that's always been a question for me. You're going to enslave me, and then you're going to give me this concept of a blue-eyed, blind-skinned, quote-unquote, son of God, Jesus, that's going to save me and heal me from all my sins. It's a bunch of crap. You need to really, really, really study. And when you study, you'll find out it's a bunch of crap. But you don't take my word for it. Go read about the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Chalcedon. There's so much information out here that you can go into information overload, but you need to know how to dissect the information so that you can get to your personal development and your purpose in life, so that you do not get, as Malcolm X used to say, he caught by the master of tricknology. That is what has been going on in America. We've been tricked. We've been bamboozled. We've been had. You know, and personal development will help you see beyond how you've been had, will help you see that there are things that you've been lied to about. See, and that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to admit, that I've been lied to. You know, this is a lie. It's this whole Western approach to what they call religion. We don't need to be religious. We need to be spiritual. because that's what we are. We are spiritual beings going through a human existence. And once we understand and grapple with that, then it's easier for us to find our. So I'm going to wrap this up for this morning. I know I covered a lot of ground this morning, but personal development is so, so key to anything that you do in life, your personal development journey. What is your personal development journey? And along the way, it's going to have you change thoughts, change ideas, and question your belief system. Because until you question your belief system, see, then you don't really know how to function in this world. The majority of people, they function like robots and programmed by the church, by the mosque, by the synagogue to respond to things a certain way because you don't want to question programming. Well, you've been given an inferior program. Don't take my word for it. And I don't ask you to take my word for it. My grandmother used to say, my mouth ain't a prayer book. So, but do the research. Work on your personal development. And I challenge people on this, listening to this show this morning, take a spiritual journal, a journey, and check out what's going on in life. How do we get to this point? What lies have we been told? What distortment of truth and history have we been given? And so you need to take that personal growth challenge because it's going to make you question your whole world. And see, until you question your world, you can't change your world. You want to change your world, you got to question your world first. With that, you know, hey, this week, question your world. What things am I believing in that are fact? What things I'm believing in that are fiction? See, because there's a lot of fiction being told to us every day, and they have built institutions to reprogram us constantly and keep us in the loop so that we follow the system of our oppressor. Yes, you heard me say right, our oppressor. You know, there are people that deliberately oppress us. The reason these people are rich and wealthy today is because of the money that they made from slavery. And until African Americans receive reparations, the Native Americans receive reparations and compensation for what has been done to us and what has been done to them, then this world's always going to have problems. And you know, I know a lot of you don't want to hear this. The church can't solve the problem because the church is the problem. They are the problem because they teach an abomination of information that is not historically accurate or correct. All right, with that said, this is Baba Jahi signing off. Let me close out with a positive note. Hey, be all that you can be. Do all that you can do. And make sure that you are manifesting a positive way of life. And treat somebody good, hold somebody, love somebody, be kind to somebody, say something nice to somebody. See, these are things that you should do anyway. I don't need to go to church to know that I need to be nice to people. But for some people, that's the only way that they can figure out how to do it. They got to go to church and somebody's got to tell them and give them a bunch of scripture and other stuff about being nice in order for them to see the need to be nice. I could go on and on. But let me wrap up. I said I wanted to close out with some positive thoughts. And so, like I said, be nice to somebody, be kind to somebody, hold somebody, tell somebody you care about them, love somebody, share something with somebody. So until next time, God bless and thank you for tuning in to the Gospel of Working From Home, the Sunday morning Gospel of Working From Home. Hope you got something out of this show, if nothing more. Bottom line, question your existence. Question your reality and question the things around you. Till next time, God bless you and have a great day and have a great week.